Like, let's stay in West Africa. Why not? I like it. Nigeria. Yes. Ben Okri. He says, a nation is as weak or as powerful as the stories they choose to tell to themselves or to one another. A nation is as weak or as powerful as the stories they choose, underline choose, to tell to themselves or to one another. That's Ben Okri from Nigeria. Maybe we'll go to Persia now. You like traveling, don't you?
Yeah.
Let's go to Persia. The cool breeze at dawn has got special messages that are meant just for you. All you have to do is take the time to listen. The cool breeze at dawn has been recurring with the sunrise each morning for millennia. The door is round, it is open. Many people wake up, they go across the threshold, and they go back to sleep. But I beg you, don't go back to sleep, because the cool breeze at dawn has got special messages that are meant for you. The orange eastern sky has got magical, invisible threads that weave their way straight into our hearts, sharing that message of cool breeze at dawn. All we have to do is take the time to listen. That's the poet Rumi from Persia. Rumi, that's the name. Now, storytellers are language lovers. Am I right? Storytellers are language lovers. And language lovers also love to taste words. Taste words. The way they are said, the way they are pronounced. You see? You see the picture drawing messages that our languages have. Let's look at the way people honor women. In 2017, the month is May, and women and children are at risk. We are being hunted like in Nyamaza. Children are dying all the time. Looks like we who are the central pillar, Intika, of the home, Intika of the continent, you're going to have to get your way back, because we're in trouble. Women and children are dying now. We're not being killed by the apartheid police. It's not even the HIV and AIDS. It is not any type of sickness or Ebola or whatever. It is our own men folk that are killing us. They say, as a sort, Mangwana, it's what I take out of family. Listen to the picture drawing expression like that. If you don't know the meaning of that expression, you just hear the sound of it. Who speaks good, sister, to hear? Yeah. Anybody? Zwagala, Zwagala. I want her to say it. She's the first language speaker. Zwagala, sister. You see, I'm Zulu speaking. I want a person who speaks Sesotho to say it properly. It has a Sesotho. Hanke. Go ahead.
Mangwana o tshwara thipa ka bohaleng.
Say it again.
Mangwana o tshwara thipa ka bohaleng.
You see, she's a first language speaker. She says it exactly the way she said. It means a mother's child hold the knife on the sharp side to protect her child. A mother's child holds the knife on the sharp side. She'd rather be cut than let her child go into any danger or pain. Let's be those kind of parents who protect our stories and hold the knife by the sharp end. What is the knife that is cutting our stories into pieces? It is the media of today that are telling stories that are not teaching us anything. The stories that are bringing only negativity into our lives. The stories that are devoid of respect and any cultural honor. Yes, the stories that have got no sense of taking us to a future that we need to travel together in all our diversities. countries we come from that are strong cultures. When I went to Vancouver Island in Nanaimo, I had the privilege of spending an all night. I didn't even know there was Nanaimo until a guy came to a festival where I was performing. He said he wanted to take me to the right place. Imagine. I don't know. He doesn't even know me, he wants to take me to the right place. But through a few friends who knew him, they said it's fine, I'm safe. I could go to the right place. I know a place where we can carry. In Nanaimo, I sat with elders. We told stories all night. Translators were working overtime. Who's a translator here? Who does a lot of work translating when people come and visit your country? It's something that's very, very important. I've been to Sweden. In Sweden, your translator meets you at the airport and spends the whole time with you. I've been to Japan. Translators spend the whole time of your visit with you. I've been to Medellin in Colombia. The translator spends all the time with you. You see? I saw the elders in Nanaimo welcoming me as the child from the southern tip of the African continent. They burned something called sweet grass. And they talked to their ancestors. If they were Zulu speaking, or Xhosa speaking, or Tswana speaking, or Tshivenda speaking, what would they be burning? What would they be burning?
Impepo.
Impepo. That's the herb that we burn. It is the dying code to the land of the ancestors. So far away, in Nanaimo, on Vancouver Island, I felt at home. That means we are more alike than we are different. Let's celebrate our diversities. Let's not be suspicious of one another. Let's learn from one another. Yes. Let's learn from one another. And then I went to Medellin, and in Medellin, this young lady was given the task of performing my poetry on stage with me. And I sent my poetry 2 months in advance, and she learned it, she memorized it, she did the whole thing. She'd never met me before, she didn't know the mad woman from South Africa was coming. And they've got a big stage. 62 countries are represented. Now, when we come out of the elevator, we're all staying in the same hotel. When we come out of the elevator, we look like the elevator is spewing out flowers. Because everybody's dressed in their own full regalia. I'm not dressed like this. This is a beautiful dress.
Yes.
Yeah. But when I put on my own traditional attire, in front of this hall, she's a hat. She's a hat. So when I walk out of the elevator, you know she's from South Africa. That one is from Indonesia, that one. That one is from the Native American people in Kakawista. You know that one is coming from your Uruguay. People are wearing different attires from their different cultures. We feel like flowers coming out. No way. It doesn't matter where we come from. Then we hit the stage and we perform. And I'm doing my poetry. On the extreme left, I perform in the spotlight and I finish in my own mad way. And the spotlight fades. On the right hand side, this young lady, Adriana, she takes over. I've never, in all the years, I wrote The Wedding Dancer in 1986. I've never met another person who performed it. Not a student, not a friend. Has anyone ever performed The Wedding Dancer and I didn't see you? No? It was the first time I saw another human being performing The Wedding Dancer on stage. And she nailed it. She nailed it, performing it in Spanish. I wish that it was live on SABC. So that more people could watch that. I'm stressing this because of the importance of this thing called translation. You want to taste the musicality of every language. Of every language. We don't want to put water on our languages in order for us to feel like we understand one another. Every language has got its own specialness, ways of saying things. You see, ukhona. Ukhona abantu abacabanga ukuthi uma ngabe ufuna ukuzwakala kwabanye abantu umelu ube nje ufake isalad ufake lo ufake lo ufake lo ugcina ungasazazi ukuthi ufuna ukuthini. The young people now who are using cell phone language, oh my watch is very beautiful but I don't know how to use it. Who's in charge of time? You are? Okay. There are young people who use cell phone language even when they are sending a text message to an elder. Not your best friend, your elder. And they don't know how to select the words and to write in proper isiZulu, isiXhosa, isiTswana, English, Afrikaans, whatever language, or French, or German, or Greek, it has been what language, but please finish the words. Say what you mean. That's a sign of respect. Because that elder is not your best friend. Or your professor, for that matter, at university, or your teacher, it doesn't matter who they are. Or the director of your organization, they are not your best friend. There's a difference between friends and elders. We don't get to this age by mistake. So respect is part and parcel of what we should be having. Respect for ourselves, respect for people we come into contact with, respect for our cultures, honoring other people's cultures. And then the respect of the work we have chosen to do. Nobody forced you to choose your profession. You chose it. If you chose your profession, do it right. If you're a bricklayer, make sure that you do it right. If you're a hairdresser, don't shave somebody who just wanted a short little trim. If you're a composer, put pride, a stamp of excellence in that song that you're composing. Whatever it is that you are designing. Me, who's addicted to beadwork, I don't want to wear this and it falls apart at the end of the day. I'm addicted to beads. I love beads, but I want something that's going to last. Not something that's going to... So whatever we're doing, let's tell stories that are going to stay in the minds, in the spirits, in the lives of other people. And when they take those stories and share them with others, the operative word in my work is sharing. We tell stories in order for those stories to travel. The stories travel. One of the most asked questions by journalists from all over the world, I think that's what they are told, I don't know. They ask me the same thing. I don't know if they ask me the same thing. Always they ask, so long time, why do you tell stories? The answer is always the same. Every year, every month, every week, every day, I say, I tell stories in order to wake up stories in other people. I tell stories in order to wake up stories in other people. That's why I tell stories. I believe every living being has got a story to tell. Somebody talks about, why do we tell stories that people know? We don't know exactly the story that I know. You don't know the story that I tell from my own background. In my way of expressing, my whole being becomes the story. It's not just a voice. It's all of me tells a story. But then having said that, I met a man from Uganda. Who's from Uganda? Yo, there's a man called Charles Okumu from Uganda. He came to a festival we were hosting in Johannesburg. And I didn't understand what was going to happen with this guy. We looked at him with disdain. We looked at one another, we just thought, we're not sure what's going to happen with this guy. And he must have been suspicious of our facial expressions. He didn't say anything. And then he stepped forward. It was his turn. There were five of us telling stories that day. And he stepped forward and began to speak. He was tall. So I'm grateful to meet the different storytellers I've met in different parts of the world. I have met Werewere Ligin from Cote d'Ivoire. She's coming back next year. I can't wait. When I turn 60, we're going to go berserk. Because I can't tell you stories. Yes. Yeah, next year I'm turning 60. Why? Okay. But where too, I also would like to touch on something. There's a question that is asked, and they say, with so many digital events and digital that, the modern media, whatever, don't you think storytelling is dying? No. Dying? What's that? art of storytelling is not dying. For as long as there are people on this earth, there shall be stories. There shall be stories. You look at those different ways of communicating, whether you're looking at even Facebook, Twitter, what is the other thing? Teach me.
Instagram,
and what else? Snapchat, listen to this. Snapchat, etc. The different ways of communicating. I say, we, the storytellers who have been called, it is a calling, it's not a job. For many no! For many no! It is not a job, it is a calling. We who have been called, we grab the multimedia bull by the horns. We ride on it and we gallop into the future. We gallop into the future. We are not scared of the different digital media that is there. We want it. We say, bring it on. Bring it on. We shall share our stories. Another thing that I think we should be looking at, there's a thing about a story that is taken from a different part of the world. Let's say it's from Scotland. And somebody from Scotland seems to arrive in Kalahari, Botswana. You arrive in Botswana, you tell that story. And somebody says, I seem to know a story like that. How come you know it from Scotland? And then, if you're telling a story from KwaZulu-Natal, the crocodile and the monkey's heart, and you arrive in India, people think, that's our story, they say. It's not their story. It's our story. What did I say about the umbilical cord? What did I say about the umbilical cord? It remembers. It remembers. The stories have traveled to different parts of the world. They take the face, the character, the culture, the style of telling of the storyteller. Then let the stories travel. Let the stories be shared. Let the stories take us to places we need to go to. And when you don't use the story for a long time, it sits there in waiting. And then when you want to explain something, sometimes in the boardroom, you're the CEO, and you're coming to turn around this company to fix the bottom line. Anyway, I couldn't have the bottom line. You're going to sort out the bottom line, and people don't get it. They don't know what is your problem, what's your story. This guy from Sudan, he thinks he's going to fix things. They say, what's your story? And then a story that you didn't even know that you still remembered, it jumps up, it says, at your service. At your service. You take that story, you tell it to the people in the boardroom. You explain why you want to do the things you are doing, the way you want to do them. And through story, you connect with people. It is like we are these electrical conductors connecting with people. So let's use the stories. Let's grab that digital bull by the horns and gallop to the future. Ngiyabonga, inkosi.